Game one of the NBA Finals finally this evening. Joining us to break it down is an NBA writer, a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, co-host of Open Floor Podcast, and you know he's a jungle legend. Ben Golliver is my guest. It's always good to have you. Ben, how are you?
I'm great, Jim. I'm here in Toronto, and there was kind of a pinch yourself moment yesterday, the NBA Finals media day. Kyle Lowry's up there on the podium taking questions. And all of a sudden, the Warriors just kind of walk in. You know, that parade of talent comes in. Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Lowry just stops himself mid-sentence and kind of watches them and takes a look. And then once they finally walk by, you know, he resumed his answer. Now, you can prepare your whole career for this moment, right? You can be in the game plan sessions, the film room, getting ready for the defending champs and trying to take them down in the NBA Finals. But once you actually see them in that building, it's a little bit different. There's really no preparation for it, and I think that's where we are right now with this series.
What a great scene setter right there. Ben Golliver joining us on the program. All right, so Ben, let me ask you this. In terms of the matchup itself, I'll get to that. But first, who are the Toronto Termites, and how'd they get that nickname?
Oh, man. You know, these Raptors fans are nuts, Jim. They love their team. They're so locked in. They're so devoted, you know, sometimes to the point of delusion. So a few years ago, after these playoff failures, I nicknamed them the Termites, just saying, look, there's nothing you can do to get rid of them. They're always going to come back. It doesn't matter if there's a Chernobyl, nuclear holocaust, whatever. They're still going to be there supporting their team. And when you look around this city, it's pretty amazing. I mean, everybody knows, you know, Canada and hockey are synonymous. They've got people outside the building at the arena at 7 a.m., you know, standing up in line so they can watch the game outside. They don't even have tickets. They're not going to the game. They're just going to watch it on a screen with a bunch of, you know, their friends. It's probably tens of thousands of people out in what they call Jurassic Park, the outdoor viewing area. They're having viewing parties across the country in various cities, and suburbs outside Toronto as well. So it's not just Drake. You know, Drake gets all the credit for being the ambassador for the team. He's the guy who's, you know, rubbing the coach's shoulders during the game and, you know, talking trash to all the opponents and all of that. But I think Drake actually kind of stands for, like, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people who have caught the basketball wave here and who are pretty excited about, you know, what Kawhi Leonard's been able to do for these Raptors and how they've finally been able to get over the hump and make the first finals in their franchise history.
Ben Golliver joining us. All right, so on the topic of Kawhi Leonard, you made the point that he is the most interesting person in the NBA Finals. For instance, how different is his role in this year's finals versus the role he had back against the Heat in 2014?
Oh, it's role reversal, isn't it? I mean, in 2014, he's like the 3-and-D specialist. You know, his job is just to chase LeBron James around, and whatever LeBron does, you know, he's going to be shadowing him, and that's going to be kind of his focus. Anything he does offensively is kind of a bonus for that team. He wasn't the headliner. Obviously, the headliner was Tim Duncan, and then Manu Ginobili, and then Tony Parker, and then we get down to Kawhi Leonard, and he had a very key role in that series. There's a reason why he won Finals MVP, but the emphasis was on the role. I think here in 2019, he's basically the LeBron figure for these Toronto Raptors. He's doing everything. Offensively, he's been their main weapon all postseason. He's stepped up his scoring. He's been super efficient shooting the ball from three-point land, from the mid-range, getting to the free-throw line, you know, basically doing it all. He set a career high in assists during this postseason with 9, having to do a little bit of playmaking because, you know, he's facing double teams and things like that. Again, much like the role LeBron has had here in the postseasons in years past. And then defensively, he's been on another level too. I mean, he was so central in locking up Giannis for Milwaukee in that Eastern Conference Finals, totally changed that series. And he's going to have his hands full in this series too, because I think he's the type of guy where he's going to see minutes on, you know, Draymond and Klay and probably Steph and Kevin Durant if he comes back healthy. I mean, he's going to have to be all over the court leading their defensive attack. So to me, that two-way presence is what makes him sort of the deciding factor of this series, right? If Toronto's going to pull the upset, it's because Kawhi was the best player on the court, period, and he outplayed Steph and he willed this team to victory. If Toronto goes down, I think like a lot of people expect, like the odds makers expect, it's because he was not quite able to overcome the entire Warriors attack, much like we've seen from LeBron here in the last couple of finals where they just get overwhelmed. So to me, those are the stakes of this series, and we'll see how it plays out.
Ben Golliver joining us. Of course, Ben, he's not going to talk about this. Neither will the Raptors. But what do you think this great run that they made in the postseason and how well he's played for them during the run is impacting his thinking about going forward in free agency?
Well, I think Toronto is actually in a really good place about it. Masai Ujiri, their president, who's very popular around the league. He gave a little press conference yesterday, and he basically kind of put his cards on the table and made it sound like, look, we've kind of done everything we could. And he pointed to that game winner that Kawhi Leonard hit at the end of Game 7 against the Sixers. You know, it bounces in, and they advance to the finals, and Kawhi is surrounded by his teammates. He's so excited. He's shouting and showing all this emotion that we rarely see from him as sort of kind of a turning point moment for them. It's like, look, if that doesn't convince him what we're about as an organization, as a team, and as a fan base, you know, maybe nothing will. They've already put up murals of that shot around the arena. So if you're walking around the building, there's pictures of his celebration and then a picture of the shot itself. So they're pulling out all the stops, and they've made their best case possible. And I think, you know, it's going to wind up in being in Kawhi's hands. But if I'm the Raptors, I'm so excited about how that trade worked out for them. It accomplished the number one goal, which was getting over the hump, getting into the finals. They took their shot. They've made a great case with some of the other moves, you know, whether it's trading for Marc Gasol or just being aggressive in terms of, you know, adding guys with veteran experience, you know, so that Kawhi has a team that can compete for a title. And I'm not sure what more a superstar could want or ask for. You know, if he just wants to be in a different market, if he wants to be in a different city, that's understandable. But I think Toronto's in a really good place right now.
Ben Golliver joining us. All right, Ben, what about Kevin Durant? Golden State, of course, has not lost since he went down. So is it really not that big of a deal if Durant does not play in the first two games? Or actually, is it kind of a big deal if he doesn't play in the first two games?
It's a huge deal, Jim. This is a classic case of everybody overthinking it. Oh, yeah, you know, he's going to come back and screw things up. Yeah, I'd love to have one of the guys who's probably the best player in basketball come and screw things up for my team any day. He's welcome to do that 24/7, 365. I think from a matchup standpoint, he's just so huge in this series because he would help cancel out a Kawhi Leonard. He would be able to offset a guy like Pascal Siakam, who's been a really nice player for the Toronto Raptors, and he would just make it so much more difficult because you know, their talent level just grows so much with him on the court. There's so many more weapons, and he's just a steady presence. And I think what we've seen from Toronto is they've done a good job this postseason of kind of controlling pace, of being in charge of the game, and then being ready to, you know, launch second half comebacks if need be. And I think, you know, a guy like Kevin Durant, he helps you in so many ways because if your offense is, you know, struggling or hitting a rough patch, you just give the ball to him and give him a bucket. He just smooths out your entire game so you're not having those huge highs and huge lows. Like Golden State even saw in the Western Conference Finals, there was multiple games where they got down by 15 points. And I think it'd be harder to come back, you know, from a 15-point deficit against Toronto than it was against Portland. So to me, they would love to have him back. I think as soon as he's medically cleared, he's going to play. I don't think any of this other talk about, oh, is it going to screw anything up? To me, that's just, you know, empty noise. And I really hope he gets back on the court here because he was so sensational playing in that first round against the LA Clippers and in the opening parts of the series against the Houston Rockets. It was such a shame for him to go down with that leg injury. And I'd love for him to be able to kind of, you know, tie a bow on his postseason and get back out there on the court.
So, Ben, ultimately, what do you think this series is going to come down to?
Well, I think, you know, two factors. Like I said, you know, Kawhi Leonard, can he be the best player on the court? Or does Steph Curry wind up taking that title, especially early on in the series before Kevin comes back? And then the second factor would be, when does Kevin come back and how does he look once he's back? I mean, to me, it comes down to the stars in this series. It usually does in the finals. I think, you know, all the talk that's been around Kawhi Leonard and his play, it might actually, you know, wind up overlooking the stuff that Steph's done here. The last couple of weeks without Kevin Durant, it's been 30-plus points every night, and he represents such a different challenge for Toronto because against Milwaukee, the Bucks' offense was entirely inside out, right? It's Giannis running to the hoop and then kicking out to his shooters. With Golden State's offense, though, it's completely outside in. It's Curry making you chase him all over the court. It's starting the possessions near midcourt, you know, with their high screen and roll. It's him just needing a little bit of a sliver of daylight before he pulls up and hits three-pointers. And so that's going to be a real challenge for Toronto's defense, and I think that's going to be fascinating to watch play out. To me, this is just a star battle, Jim, and that's why I love it. That's why I'm excited for these finals. We got a little bit of new blood. You know, there's not that Cleveland Cavaliers factor. There's not that LeBron James factor, that rivalry talk that kind of drive this series for the last 4 years. But we still have an awful lot of star power that's going to be doing battle. And I think, you know, one thing that we could see coming out of this series, you know, we could be crowning a new best player in basketball, right? If the Raptors win, I think a lot of people are going to say, hey, Kawhi, you're the guy. If the Warriors win and Steph gets finals MVP, I could see people saying that for him too. And if Kevin Durant comes back into the middle of this series and changes the series, I could see people making the same argument for Kevin Durant too. So I think those are pretty good stakes and a nice table setter here as we get ready for game one tonight.
And great storylines. Storylines for days. He is a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, co-host of Open Floor Podcast. Good friend of the program, jungle legend, Ben Golliver. Ben, great job. Have fun with it. And I know we'll run you down again pretty soon.
Sounds great, Jim. Take care, man.
You too. Ben, well done. Ben Golliver joining us. All right, so who do you have? Who do you like? I agree with him. If Toronto's going to win that series, Kawhi's got to be the best player in the series. Like, you can make the argument that Golden State could win that series without Kevin Durant. Golden State could win that series even if Steph Curry is not the best player in the series. Golden State could win that series if Klay Thompson is not the best player in the series. Golden State could win the series if Draymond is not the best player in the series. Toronto cannot win the series if Kawhi is not the best player in the series. But he might be. And we'll find out.